Amen. If you would take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we will read from verse 30 to the end of the chapter. After the reading of God's holy word, we will sing the Gloria Patri, which is found in your bulletin, and it's page 734 in the hymnal if you need it. This is John 8, beginning with verse 30. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not understand them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Why do you make yourself, who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him, I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Let us bow our heads once more and go to our God in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this day which you have given us to rest in you, to come before you as your people, to sing praises to your holy name, to worship you in the splendor of your majesty. We thank you for your word and this passage which we have just read. We ask that you would add your blessing to it, that we would have ears to hear and hearts that are receptive to your holy word. Please grant us humble obedience unto you, that we would delight in your word and delight in your Son. And please still our hearts and our souls, that everything which would hinder us from worship would be cast aside now. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, just by way of reminder, the context of this passage just previously, Jesus was speaking in the treasury, and he made the claim that he is the light of the world. He says, "I am the light of the world. And all who follow me will walk not in darkness, but in the light of life." And he went on to further say that his witness is true, and the Father bears witness of him. And in doing so, he calls all the hearers to believe in his witness and to have life in him, so that they would no longer walk in darkness. And it says at the end of that passage, many believed in him. And so here, what Jesus says to this crowd, to those who had believed in him, he says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That is, if you remain, if you abide in my word, you are true disciples, with the result that you will know the truth. What Jesus is doing here is commending to this people the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is commending to them even himself, who is the truth. As it says later in John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's saying, in this truth, there is freedom. And therefore, whatever else is besides this truth, it is a lie. This is the truth of God. Everything else is false and a lie. And so the crowd answers him by appealing to their genealogy, to their lineage. They say, "We are children of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say we will be set free?" They're incredulous that Jesus would assert such a thing. So Jesus explains what he means. He explains what it is to be free and to be in bondage to sin. "You are not enslaved, are you?" And at this point, we must remember who Jesus is speaking to. He is speaking to those who had believed in him. And he says they are enslaved. And so we begin to see a disconnect here between those with genuine faith and those who merely have a profession of faith, whose profession is outward. It is mere lip service. True believers abide in the Word, and those whose profession is not by mouth alone. But here he says, these are like those in the parable of the sower. When the seed fell on the stony ground or in the midst of the thorns, they grew for a time, but they either had no root, no foundation, or they were choked out by the cares of the world, and they fled from the truth. Jesus goes on to say, "I speak of what I have seen with my Father,
and you do what you have heard from your Father. There is a distinction in sonship. Whose son are you? Who is your Father? My Father is the Heavenly Father. Your Father, as Jesus says to these Jews, is the devil. So what then distinguishes those who are of the Father in heaven and those who are of the devil? And the distinction that Jesus brings up here is one of obedience. True children of Abraham would do the works of Abraham. He asks these Jews, do you do the works of Abraham? Do you live in righteousness by faith as Abraham did? No. You do not do the works of Abraham. But what you do is seek to kill me. You seek to kill me, Jesus says, because I bring the truth. You are doing the works of your Father. And on the flip side, if you were children of God, the Father, you would love me, for I am from the Father. You would hear the Word of God. You would abide in the Word of God. And you would be free. Why do you not understand what I say to you? It was because you cannot bear to hear my word. Cannot. It is impossible. Because it is true. You are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He is the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. He has nothing to do with the truth. The truth itself is vile to the devil. And Jesus here is speaking of the devil, of the evil of the devil, not because he so much cares about what the devil does, but he is addressing the disposition of the heart of man, the hearts of the people who are before him. Your father is the devil. He was a murderer and you seek to kill me. I tell you the truth and you cannot bear to hear it. And what he is getting at is not so much the regard for the devil, but he is getting at the hardness of man's heart. The depravity of every man's heart after the fall. As it is written in Genesis 6, the intention of man's heart is only evil. Continually. This is the heart of every man and woman. Apart from the work of Jesus Christ. Only evil. Always. So you say you are free. You say you've never been enslaved. Truly, truly, Jesus says. That is, pay attention. Listen, the words which I am about to say are the absolute truth. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. This is the natural disposition of man, bondage to sin and death. Turn to Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans 6, beginning at verse 16. Romans 6, 16 through 21. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves,
You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. This is the natural state of the will of man after the fall. Our wills are not free. Naturally, we are in bondage to sin. And we're free from righteousness. Because we would have nothing to do with righteousness, nothing to do with the truth, apart from the work of God. Yes, we're free to do all that we are capable of within that box of wickedness. Well, you might ask, what if someone in his old age, after a life of sin, ascertains the wickedness of his own will? He understands this and he is able to discern the truth. Understand that he is evil and be appalled at his life. Even if that were the case, he would not be able to do anything about it. Because the truth is as vile to him as it is to the devil. R.C. Sproul says something along these lines. He says, when men go before the throne of God and face the judgment of Jesus for their sins, they won't be able to say, well, the devil made me do it. Because as Jesus says, your will is to do your Father's desires. Your will is to do whatever the devil desires of you. Apart from Christ, we only want to do evil. And so the question which this text begs us this morning is, what hope is there? If we are so utterly unable in and of ourselves to do any good, if we are unable to do any righteousness, how could we ever aspire to eternal life? How could we ever aspire to behold the face of God in unveiled glory? Well, John Calvin, in typical Calvin fashion, he says, let papists now go and proudly vaunt of their free will. But let us, who are conscious of our own slavery, glory in none but Christ, our deliverer. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who delivers us from the bondage of sin, death, and the devil, even to sonship with Him. Our hope is external to us. Our hope is entirely in another.
Because Jesus says the slave does not remain in the house forever. If we were to remain in our sin, we would be cast out. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus commends to us the gospel. He commends to us the Son of God Himself, so that we too might be sons and daughters of the Most High God. When God the Father draws us unto Christ, He, by His Holy Spirit, regenerates our hearts and our minds so that we hear the words of God, so that they abide in us, so that we are free from sin and that we willingly obey righteousness. This is the distinction between those of genuine faith and a mere profession of faith. Our obedience demonstrates to whom we belong. Are we slaves to sin, or are we slaves to righteousness? This is what makes the grace of God so amazing, in that He loved us when we were yet sinners. He loved us when we were incapable of love, when we were incapable of any righteousness, of doing anything good. And He made us alive in Jesus Christ, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And the hope which we have in Jesus' words here in John is this. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The first five verses. Second Corinthians 5, verse 1. "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Paul anticipates what Jesus spoke of in John, that the believer would never see death. Paul is not saying that death is the hope of the Christian. We don't hope for death. We don't look forward to death. But we look forward to putting on the eternal, of being further clothed, so that what is mortal would be swallowed up by life. Everlasting life. This is the hope of the believer. Jesus is saying that even though we all may perish in this life, that is as nothing for the believer. That is merely the moment when we will have that joy of the robber who is on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. When we perish from this life, that is when our souls will be with Jesus Christ in paradise. We will never know death. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is our hope. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you repent and believe in Him. And the great comfort at the end of this passage is the power of Jesus Christ to save. If you doubt Jesus' ability to save, doubt no longer. Because this passage of John is perhaps Jesus' clearest words, where He ascribes to Himself Godhood. Where He ascribes to Himself deity. When He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now there are many I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. But each of those, though they are ascribing to God, to Jesus' deity, it is connected to something else. But not here. Jesus is unequivocally declaring Himself Yahweh. The I am who I am. And so if it is the purpose of Jesus Christ to save you, nothing can thwart His plan. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, the Son, can set you free from your slavery and bondage to sin, your bondage to the devil. Hear these words from Romans 8 regarding this precious gift of adoption, what Jesus is offering here when the Son sets you free. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Heirs with Christ. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. And what is the privilege of a son of the King? It is unhindered access to the presence of the King. To be in the courts of God. The psalmist has said, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere." this sonship which is provided for us through Jesus Christ, which is offered to us, is not merely a day in His courts. It's not a year. It's not 100 years, not 10,000 years. It is eternity. Everlasting life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Know then that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So what is our response to this glorious, most gracious gift? It is gratitude and humble obedience to be slaves no longer of sin, but slaves to righteousness. Praising God, glorifying God day by day. May we always be true disciples, our professions of faith being genuine, with the Word of God abiding in us forevermore. For when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no fewer days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Let us always give thanks to our God and praise Him for this gracious gift. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we praise You and thank You for so great a salvation which You have accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have given Him to be the propitiation for our sins, to take Your wrath for our sins upon Himself, so that we would have life and adoption into Your royal family. We thank You for this precious gift and the precious work of Your Holy Spirit in regenerating our hearts and our minds, making us alive in Christ Jesus, taking a heart of stone and giving to us a heart of flesh. We ask, O Lord, that You would strengthen us every day of our lives, moment by moment, that we would live as faithful sons and daughters of the Most High, in obedience to Your holy word, to live as Jesus Christ Himself lived, being sanctified by Your word and by Your Spirit. We ask that You would be with us this day, that as we go forth from this place, Your word would dwell in our hearts richly, and that we would love You and delight in Your Son always. And may the day be hastened when every knee will bow and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is Yahweh. To Your glory, our God and Father. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.